Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. We're looking at the Day of the Lord, so this will be part three, the tribulation. The tribulation is the Day of the Lord, and we'll finish up our verses in this section. And we pray that as you follow along, you'll learn of the Lord, and that He'll teach you from His holy words. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. So this is the part of the Pentateuch, end of the first five books of Moses. So you could almost say that the tribulation day of the Lord goes from cover to cover in the Bible. And so, in a sense. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 says, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days." So now we're looking at the latter days for the Jews, the latter days for the nation of Israel. So again, verse 30, "In the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice." So even during the tribulation, they can turn to the Lord, and people should, and people will. Turn to the Lord apart from sin, apart from following their own way, turning back to God, back to Jesus Christ, really, and his salvation and his forgiveness. "If thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God," even in the midst of all this. See, the Lord's not intent on just punishing everybody and sending everybody apart from him forever. The Lord, it's our own sin that got us in the mess. It's our own fault that we deserve condemnation. But yet, he's a merciful God. He'll abundantly pardon and forgive. And so he's talking to Israel for the tribulation time. Even then, if you turn to God and look to his mercy, he will give mercy and he will forgive. "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them." So the covenant of the Jews' fathers, the Jewish fathers, the fathers of their nation, namely Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's where God has made a covenant with Abraham. Give him a land in the Middle East. That's the land of Israel. A seed. Ultimately, that's through David, the Messiah, and that's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And a blessing. That's the spiritual blessing of forgiveness of sins. And new life in the Lord. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice this, that's for the Jewish people. That's for the Jewish people. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And those surrounding the nation of Israel in the Arab lands, the Arabs are not Jews. And so the Jews don't have this covenant with the Lord. Nobody does. None of the Gentiles have this covenant between God and a nation. So Israel is unique in this regard, in this respect. And so that's the avenue, the vehicle. Israel is how the Lord gave mercy upon this earth. That's how we have the Bible. It's from the Jewish prophets. That's how we have the Messiah, who's born of Mary. And so he came in the line of David. And so God is not going to forget because of God's covenant, and that includes his mercies. He won't forget Israel, even during the tribulation. So we'll go on to Matthew 24 again, Matthew 24, and back to the New Testament. Well, should be in the New Testament mainly for the rest of our time here together. So Matthew 24, the discourse, the Olivet Discourse. Clear over into verse 21, Matthew 24, 21. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And so here we see that the Lord's talking about the tribulation time, and then he calls this certain part a great tribulation. And so while the whole 7 years really is a great tribulation time. Normally, the last half or the last 3.5 years are considered the great tribulation because of a time marker that he has here in the scripture, and that's verse 15, Matthew 24, 15. When ye, the Jewish people, during the tribulation, therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. I wonder what that is. I wonder how we can find out about that. The Lord tells us, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So all you have to do is go down the book of Daniel, look in chapter 9. It talks about the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that leads to desolation. That's the Antichrist going into the Jewish temple, or whatever they have constructed at that time, a tabernacle temple, and he declares himself to be God. That's at the midpoint of the tribulation, 3.5 years into it, and then that's when the great tribulation really starts. It's already tribulation. It's already God's wrath, but now things really get heated up during that last half. So again, back to Matthew 24:15. Daniel the prophet stayed in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So God wants us to read the Bible. He wants us to read the book of Matthew. He wants us to read the book of Daniel. And he wants us to understand, to pray to him for understanding of his words. Then let him which is in Judea flee to the mountains. Judea, that's Israel. That's actually the southern part of Israel. Parts of Israel, I should say. Judea and Samaria actually is part of it, and they don't recognize it. The Jews do, but those around them don't recognize it as Judea and Samaria today. But the Lord does, and it doesn't change. And so that's what it was called when he was speaking and when this was written. Whoso readeth, let him understand that. Let him, the one who is in Israel during the tribulation, at the half point mark, if he sees the Antichrist going into the temple, declare himself God, get out of town. Get out of Jerusalem. Get out. Flee into the mountains. Get out to safety. Get out of the city, because they're coming after the Jews in that place and in that time. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Don't look back. Just go. Get out. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Just go. Flee with the shirt on your back, because they're coming that fast to get them with that much vengeance, be Antichrist and his army. Neither let him, verse 19, it says, and woe to them that are with child and them that give suck or that are nursing in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And we can see, obviously, what some of the terrible things that are happening to Israel by Hamas and others who have come in. And so children were involved in that bloodshed as well, very unfortunately. But anyway, during the tribulation time, mid-trib, get out, go. When you see this happening, get out, flee, go. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Well, what happens? Well, it's harder to travel during those colder days, colder, rainy days, if there's any ice. Obviously, they don't get piles and piles of snow very often there in Israel, but yet still things or traffic could be snarled. And on the Sabbath, public transportation could be shut down. And so it's harder to get out of town. It's hard to go. It's hard. So they're saying, because, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. This is really a terrible time, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we've already looked at this was a unique time, a distinct time, a certain time there. So here we have a time marker associated with the abomination of desolation, a period of time called the Great Tribulation, which is in the latter days for Israel. And so it would be, looks like the last half of the tribulation. Luke 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So also a counter or a similar passage describing some of the same situations here, the same time frame. Luke 21:25. We'll go down to verse 25. And that tells us, And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And so so we already looked at some of the differences and the changes in the stars, the sun and the moon, and the signs in the sky that's associated with these lights in the sky. And then verse 26 as well. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So we see that here this is talking about in the tribulation, these fearful things happening. You know what, while we're at it, let's throw in verse 21, 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There you go. That's what ends the tribulation. That ends the day of the Lord. In a sense, you could say the Lord comes back and ends the day of the Lord. It's the Lord's time. So he's given the wrath out, but now Jesus Christ comes back. And they'll see him, the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in a cloud. That's how he left. That's how he ascended, it says in Acts. He left in a cloud. He's coming back the same way, in a cloud. But not, there's a difference. Now he's coming with power and great glory. Before, although he was powerful when he was God, he didn't exercise or display that power and great glory. He will when he comes back the second time. So now we have another time marker here with these things that are within the tribulation, and he comes back and he stops that. So this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, these are written so that we can look ahead, we can see what's coming, and so that we can be prepared, not to be prepared to go through the tribulation, but to let people know about the Lord Jesus Christ and that his judgment is true and it's real, and to get your heart right with the Lord today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. It never gets here. So why put off to tomorrow? Why put off getting saved tomorrow when you can do it today? Get saved today. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Okay, so Revelation 3:10. So let's go to the book of Revelation. Much of the book of Revelation is an expansion of the 7 years of tribulation. In other words, it gives a lot more details and explains more about the tribulation during that time. However, chapter 3, verse 10 is a section for our time now, because we're in the church time, the church era, the church age, the day of grace, and this dispensation. And so these letters to the churches are applicable to us today as well. And so here he's writing to the church of Philadelphia, which is in the Greek world. Today it would be in Western Turkey. But a church of saved people in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 10, because thou hast kept my word, kept the word of my patience. You've trusted me, now you're enduring. You're faithful to my word. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Well, don't we all go through an hour of temptation or a time of temptation? Yes, but here's a unique time, because he says that which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So there's a future time coming, a trial time, a tribulation time that's coming. It's going to be for the whole world, the whole world. Before, we looked at the tribulation was designed specifically for the Jews and for Israel. That's true. But here we see also it's for the whole world, the whole world. So even though Israel is at the center, epicenter, if you will, of the Great Tribulation, and it was predicted the latter times for Israel. And so here is the Lord is going to keep the church out of it. I will keep thee from the hour. Ek, like we get exit from, a preposition meaning out of. We know what it means to go through something, to drive through something. well, I'm going to stay out of the drive-thru. So it means I'm not going to go through the drive-thru. And so I'm going to stay out of the tribulation. I'm going to stay out of the day of the Lord. Well, how is the Lord going to do that? He's going to snatch away. He's going to rapture the church prior to the tribulation, not take us through the tribulation, but save us from the tribulation. Very important. So you could see that that's a pre-tribulation rapture statement there, a verse. And there are several of those. So the Lord could come and get us at any moment to keep us from, to keep us out from the tribulation. Okay, and then Revelation chapter 6, just a couple chapters over, chapter 6. We have time real quick. 6 verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb," who's the Lamb of God? Jesus Christ. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals," or the first seal. So Jesus Christ is the one that starts the tribulation. Jesus Christ is God who begins the tribulation. Jesus Christ is the one who opens that first seal of the scroll, which is the blueprint of the tribulation. And so that the prophecy of the tribulation now is going to unfold and carry out and be carried out upon the earth. So Jesus Christ does this. We go down through the seals here, and we see that they align up with those beginning of birth pangs in Matthew chapter 24. But here, again in verse 15, it says, Revelation 6:15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men," like, wow, these are very important people, wealthy, "and the chief captains, and the mighty men," wow, all these great, mighty people, wealthy, "and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Well, that sounds like just like what we saw, that they're going to throw their idols to moles and bats while they're in the caves and the tunnels and all these bomb shelters and all these places that they'll be hiding from the wrath of God. In fact, it says it here, verse 16. So the New Testament agrees with the Old Testament. "And said the people that hid themselves," even the very wealthy people, see, they can't get away. No one is exempt from the wrath of God through the tribulation. "And said," they said to the mountains and the rocks, "fall on us and hide us from the face of him," the face of him that sitteth on the throne, "and from the wrath of the Lamb." The wrath of the Lamb of God. See, this is God's wrath. It's the wrath of Jesus Christ. Also with 6:1, that Jesus Christ the Lamb opened that first seal. And here, it's the wrath of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Well, we saw before that God was angry. God was jealous. Now we put it together. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is angry. Jesus Christ is jealous. That's what the wrath is. So we see that all the seal judgments are the wrath of God. Some people might say, well, the wrath of God, the tribulation, doesn't start until later on. During the tribulation. No, the wrath of God has already started. They've already been in it. That's where they're hiding, and they don't want it. Because it says in verse 17, "For the day, great day of his wrath, the day of the Lord, is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Who can stand against the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can stand against that, the day of the wrath of the Lamb? And so we see that this is the tribulation. Again, it's describing the tribulation, friends, the day of the Lord. And after we've looked at the Isaiah and Joel passages, Jeremiah, Matthew, Thessalonians, even way back in Deuteronomy, of course, Matthew, Luke, Revelation, all these things are referencing the same time period and the same wrath of God and the same humbling of humanity and the same people hiding from God. But yet he's told us a few times that turn to God, rend your hearts, come brokenhearted before him, confessing your sins, looking to God for a mercy, for mercy and grace. And dear friend, have you looked to God for mercy and grace? You might say, yes, I have. Well, praise the Lord for that. Are you watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get you at any moment prior to the tribulation? And I hope you are, and I hope you do, and I hope you will. And also, do you know of a friend or a loved one or a family member or a neighbor that needs to hear the message of salvation in Jesus Christ? So, because we wouldn't want someone that we know and love to be here for that great wrath upon this earth. Well, I hope you keep studying these verses and that they'll be a blessing to you. And thanks for listening.